Welcome to the Watershed Teaching Podcast. Watershed is the high school ministry of Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Perimeter Church is part of the Presbyterian Church in America. Watershed is a place where we hope high school students would connect, receive, and transform. We want to see students connect with God and others through healthy community, receive His truth through gospel-centered, grace-based teaching, and be transformed by the gospel to then go transform their world. Thank you for downloading this podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.perimeter.org/watershed.
Hey, my name is Emilio, and I'm on staff here with Watershed, and this is my beautiful wife.
Hi, guys. I'm Hope. Happy to be with you tonight. I am an eighth grade teacher, science teacher, at Summer Hour Middle School, feeds into Norcross High School. Go Blue Devils. Nobody? Okay, that's fine. Okay. Sorry, Jack.
There's three people. Sorry. Hey, so here's what's going to happen. So for y'all to really understand and what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to share just quickly a little bit about our stories. A lot of y'all have maybe heard some of mine, so I'm just going to share in 20 seconds something you guys don't know. So I grew up, are you timing me? Awesome. So what you guys don't know is that I grew up, my parents have been married for 34 years. I'm 32 if you want to do the math. It's two. I know it's already messed up, but I grew up with parents who, no matter what, told me how great I was. Like, I remember in high school, I won honorable mention for something, and my parents were like, "You're the best." I was like, "I am the best." Or like my team, like sophomore year of high school, my club soccer team, we went 0 for everything, and my parents were like, "Yeah, but y'all were the best losers." I was like, "We were the best losers," and so like I just grew up with this built-in overconfidence that has served me well up to this point.
Yes, I would agree with that. So my story is a lot different than Emilio's is. My mom got pregnant when she was in high school with me, and so I actually lived with my grandparents until I was about 10 years old. So because of that, and because that was a big part of my story, I struggled a lot growing up with feeling really unwanted, feeling like I wasn't good enough. So when we kind of collided, there was a really big difference between what we had been told as children. And so that translated into all my relationships. It translated into my friendships. It translated into my, I guess, romantic relationships, where I felt like I had to be a certain way for people to want to be around me. So, oh, you like soccer? Well, I can like soccer. Oh, you
yes,
like
you
this kind of... Oh, you like this kind of music? Me too. Oh, you like to wakeboard? Oh, me too. And so I had a hard time figuring out my identity because I so desired to feel wanted and to feel accepted.
Yeah, and so here's where I come into the picture. She's a senior at UGA. Go Gamecocks.
Go Dogs.
And all day.
Can't and even so, say that in church.
And so,
feel bad about
so
that.
So I moved to Athens, Georgia when I went on staff with Young Life. And when I moved there, her best friend, Laura, and my best friend, Brad, were dating at the time. They had met over the summer, and they had started dating. Quick side note, they don't like each other anymore.
Yeah, that's awkward.
But it is awkward. But they're like, "Hey, you know what would be great? If we went on double dates with Hope and Emilio." And they're like, we should set things up. And so they would do the whole, "Hey, why don't y'all come over to our place?" And like Hope would be there, and we'd all hang out, and like we'd watch college football games. And she would talk trash. She'd be like, "South Carolina's horrible at football," which she's not wrong.
Yeah, you were bad.
We beat y'all that year. And we were just talking trash back and forth. And I said to myself, "She has to be my wife." I said, "If you can dish it back like she could, and she can," I said, "I must marry you." So we kept on hanging out. And I said, you know, after a couple months of texting and Facebook poking, that was the thing that people actually did.
That's weird.
All the 20-somethings were like, "Ha ha." You high schoolers are like, "What's that?" So finally, I was like, "Hey, I'd love to take you out to coffee." So we went on our first date to Dittery Joe's right there in Athens.
That's not
it is
the truth. So our first date was not then. I was trying to friend zone him so much, and he was just like not picking it up. And so when I explain this, you guys are going to be like, "Oh, yeah, she was friend zoning him for sure." So I like hair, like, probably hadn't washed it in a while. I was in college, just the truth. Shower. I was wearing, like, my gray UGA hoodie with, like, the strings that I chewed on. So they're, like, frayed with, like, coffee stains. And at the time, the biggest textbook that I could find was organic chemistry because I was a biology major. So I got there, like, 30 minutes early, got my own table, spread out all my science stuff and all my notes, bought my own coffee. And I was waiting when he got there. Definitely friend zoned.
Definitely not.
Yeah, he still doesn't. Still doesn't understand that that was not a date.
It was. Careful of the microphone. It's going to fall. I have tiny ears. It'll fall off.
He does have tiny ears. They're so cute. He's so cute. Oh.
So we were at Jittery Joe's on our first date. This microphone's the worst. We're on our first date, and like she said, like, I had no idea that she was trying to friend zone me. Like, that overconfidence, I mean, why would she want to friend zone me? Let's be real. And but we talked for, like, 2 hours at Jittery Joe's. Then they closed. We spoke for, like, another 2 hours in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I'm not done. So I called her on the way home. And then I got home, and I probably poked her on Facebook one more time. But
yeah, on the Nokia.
On the Nokia.
Called me on the Nokia.
Yeah. They don't even know what that is.
Oh, that's awkward.
It is awkward.
Yeah, so for me, it was just that whole kind of exchange. There are two or three of those Jittery Joe's undates. And then Emilio took me on our first date, which was actually our first date.
It was our sixth.
We went to this park in Athens called Memorial Park. It has, like, a little zoo. Walked around, very romantical. Went to this Italian restaurant called De Palma's. Paid for my dinner. By the way, backing up, I had dated people before, but never really been taken on a date. Now I realize that that's weird, but at the time I didn't. And so anyway, we went to Italian restaurant, and then he had a friend who played women's soccer at USC, and they were playing UGA that day, so he dragged me there, which that was probably the low point of our date. But the point is that...
Our sixth date, I didn't think it mattered.
No.
It mattered, just kidding.
So... The point is that no matter how many times I tried to friend zone him and I did not poke him back on Facebook, in case you're wondering.
I'm still waiting for it, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's sitting there. It's like Emilio Hood has poked you. I feel like that's a little creepy. Anyway, so the point is that I had never really been pursued before. I had never really been chased before. And even though I thought that it was weird, something deep inside me was like, wait, this is what's supposed to happen. Like, this feels right. But the truth was, even though I was trying to be all cool, I was actually just very insecure. And that goes back to everything that I was kind of talk about in the beginning. And I was just really worried that Emilio, like he said, he was on Young Life staff and really into God. And I was trying to be, but I was just worried that if he really knew the real me, he'd want nothing to do with me. And I was terrified of being rejected. I was terrified of him finding out my true story and feeling like I wasn't good enough, because that's kind of something that I had always dealt with. It was so bad that there was a point I'll never forget in my apartment. We had a sit-down, and I was like, hey, look, like, I'm just going to lay it out there for you, because my heart's not going to be able to handle you saying that I'm not good enough. So I'm just going to tell you everything about me, my whole story, where I've come from, what I've done. And if you want to walk away, like, I get it. And I was so nervous. I had, like, written things down. And he just, like, sat there and let me talk, because that's what good boys do, just so you know. Nod your head. And when I was done, he was like, are you finished? And I was like, yeah, I think so. And he was like, all right, cool, love you. And I was like, oh, are you sure? And he was like, do you want a do-over? He was like, no, like, I love you. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter who you were or who you think that you're not right now. Like, I love you for who you are. And that was such a beautiful picture of of Jesus and the way that he feels about us, which I feel like Amelia is going to talk about.
Let's go straight there.
I'm going to scoot back.
Yeah, so I mean, like, whether like we are the ones who are pursuing or maybe we're the ones that are being pursued, you know, we kind of all hit these bumps in the road, whether it's these insecurities, these distractions, these rejections, and they try to deter us from this love that we're created for. You know, for us, it's, I mean, our marriage. Like, I was created to love Hope. Hope is created to love me. I believe that we're created to love God, to love Jesus. And I'd love to jump in. You know, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Genesis in 29, chapter 29. And just let y'all know, this is, you know, Jacob has just gone to this well. And he's there, and he's been told, you know, this is where you need to go. And he sees Rachel. And Rachel is the woman of his dreams. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to marry Rachel. And so I'm going to pick up right here in verse 16. It says, "Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak." I have no idea what that has to do with anything, but they were weak. "But Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance, and Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel.'" And so then what ends up happening is he works for 7 years. He's pursuing Rachel. He's willing to do whatever it takes for Rachel. And the end of the 7 years comes. He's about to marry someone, and then surprise, it's Leah. And he's like, what are you doing? And Laban is like, listen, it's tradition that we marry the older first, and wouldn't be right. And I think deep down there's this, I don't want to lose this worker. He has worked really hard. I'm not trying to lose out. And so then I feel like a lot of guys would be like, all right, well, I guess I'll marry Leah. That's that. But he loved Rachel. He wanted to be with Rachel. And he was going to work another 7 years so that he could marry Rachel. He was willing to do whatever it takes to marry Rachel. He was willing to pursue her. It didn't matter that he felt like he had been dealt a bad hand. He was going to pursue her no matter what. You know, for us, even when we deal with these insecurities, when Hope dealt with these insecurities, when she sat down and told me her life story, like it didn't matter, because I knew that I was called to love Hope. I'm going to cry. I'm sorry. I didn't think that was going to happen. And God affirmed that. We got engaged. There's the picture of me awkwardly proposing right behind us.
It's a funny story.
We did get married. There's the other picture right there. Yep, that's the U.S. flag. No big deal.
4th of July.
We got married on the 4th of July, so I can never forget our anniversary. And guys, let's just do that. Get married on a holiday. It helps. And then we do have an incredible family. Like that was, there's the picture there, and then there are the loud ones in the back. That's not just Tegan. And so God affirmed the fact that I was called to love Hope. He affirmed the fact that I was called to pursue Hope. Just like he affirmed for Jacob, hey, you are going to marry Rachel. You're going to work. You're going to hit this bump in the road. You're going to deal with this nose, these rejections, but you're going to marry Rachel. And then God took that and used his relationship with Rachel and his relationship with Leah for his glory. He, you know, the nation of Israel came from Jacob. And so ultimately, God was glorified by the fact that Jacob pursued Rachel. God is glorified by the fact that I pursued Hope. And here's the cool thing about it all, bring it all together, is this. We get this picture because Jesus actively pursues us. That's how I knew how to pursue Hope, because I'd been pursued by Jesus. We say yes to Jesus. You know, there might be people in this room who feel like you're distant right now. You haven't spent time with Jesus today or in the last week or in the last 3 months or in the last year. You feel distant, and yet Jesus is still pursuing you. What it says in Romans 5:8 is this. It says, "But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Talk about a bump in the road. Hey, we're still sinners, but Christ died for us. He never stops pursuing us. And for those of us, if there are people in this room who don't have anything to do with Jesus, have no relationship, hey, guess what? He's chasing you down too, because what he desires is you. And that's just this picture that we have.
Yeah. And a couple years ago, I guess it was New Year's Eve. And when you have little kids, your New Year's Eves, they look a little different than most people's. And ours usually looked like putting the kids to bed and it being like 8:30 and like, oh, what do we do now? And so this one New Year's Eve, we decided that we wanted to figure out like what our family verse was and what we really wanted to be about. We wanted like a motto or a mantra or something. And so after praying about it and thinking about it a lot, we decided that we wanted to be, our little saying was that hoods love people. And you can ask any of our kids back there, what do hoods do? And they would say, hoods love people. And so our family verse is 1 John 4:11, and it says, beloved, since God loved you, you also ought to love one another. And like we've talked about, loving one another means pursuing one another. It means chasing people when it feels hard. And that doesn't just mean romantically. That means people in your family. That means your friends. For me, being a teacher, that means my eighth graders. And I don't know if you guys remember being in eighth grade, but you were not nice. Or my kids sometimes cannot be nice. The thing about pursuing is that you're going to hear no. You're going to be rejected. It's not easy. But if you know Christ's love, if you really understand what that means, you kind of don't have a choice, because that kind of love demands an action. It demands you chasing after people to love them the way that God chased after you. So for those of you that are in that spot, I'm just here to encourage you that keep on keeping on. And I know that it's hard, and I know it's hard to be rejected, and especially for those of us that might have some insecurities, but because Jesus lives in you, like, that's what gives you the strength and the words to say and the things to do to love people well.
Yeah. We're created to love. You know, like she said, we're going to deal with rejection. That's going to happen. That's life. But we can deal with it because we know that we are created for a greater love. We're created to love Jesus, to enjoy and glorify him. And then we're created to pursue other people so that they could do the same. So go out and do what Jesus does. And go out and love people. Let me pray, and then you guys can go to your discipleship groups. Thank you all so much for listening and for dealing with my wife. Father, we love you. I'm just kidding. Father, thank you so
Amelia
much.
Right now.
Thank you so much for this privilege that I get to sit by this beautiful woman that you created me for. And thank you that you called me to pursue her. Thank you for tonight and for this watershed and for this opportunity to say yes to you and to say yes to pursuing our neighbor, to say yes to pursuing our family. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend, teammates, whoever it is, Father, you tell us to pursue. Thank you for all that you are doing. I pray that you would bless this evening, bless our time in our D groups. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.